Well, good morning. I trust that everybody had a good Christmas yesterday. We'd like to welcome you all to Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning. We're going to start off this morning's service, if we can get Bobby Kell to sit down, with a baptismal service. So if you will, just bow your heads and we'll pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you, Lord, for this season, Lord, that you sent your Son, a baby, to be born, to die on a cross for our sins, Lord, and to save us. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us today as we go through this baptism, the ones that are going through this baptism service this morning, Lord, that we as a church would get behind them and help them in any way that we can, Lord, to just further your kingdom. We pray, Lord, now that the message is brought this morning, that you've laid on Brother Jerry's heart, would be brought in a way that if there's some lost soul here today that needs to know you, Lord, that it would prick their hearts, Lord, and that they would step out and come forward and ask you into their life. Now just be with us, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct us, and forgive us when we fail thee. For it's all these things that we ask and pray in your sweet and precious holy name. Amen.
Well, good morning. We're going to be baptizing Miss Anna Spots today, so Anna, come on down. Now God's people said,
and if you would please stand, we will continue on with number 426, Victory in Jesus, 426. Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Well, it has already been a worshipful morning, hasn't it, with a baptism. And if we look up on the wall over there, I think we have 34 ornaments hanging. And yesterday was just Christmas, and so we've got at least another week of giving, if you would still like to give. If you don't know, that represents each ornament on the wreath represents $1,000. And to date, we've given about $34,500. And I think we need to give God a hand for allowing us to do that. It's such a blessing to be in the house of God this morning and see all your beautiful faces this morning. And we want to welcome you, and we want to welcome our home folk. Thank you for coming to Hillcrest. And for our visitors, we thank you for choosing to come to Hillcrest this morning. And we want to welcome you in the way we're going to welcome. We're going to stand and we're going to wave from afar.
So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this out. For I'm part of the family of God.
You may be seated. As we continue on with number 86, O Little Town of Bethlehem, 86.
Silence.
Stand as we continue on with number 91, Silent Night, Holy Night, 91. Seated.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there for no room for that holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming the royal decree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. The foxes found rest and the birds their nest in the shade of the forest tree. But the couch was the sod and the Son of God in the desert of Galilee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with a living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. When the heaven shall ring and the angels sing at the coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room, there is room by my side for thee. My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me.
Thank you.
Well, if you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Before I read the scripture, I want to give thanks to the Lord for Christmas Eve service. We had at least 97, and it took all the deacons and the pastor to take our shoes off to count that high. So I'm not sure how many we had, but we did count 97, and I think we probably missed a couple. So it was well attended, but it was a sweet, sweet time of just to be with the Lord. We had a lot of families together here, and that was a blessing to me to see not just home folk, but your kids and your aunts and uncles and just relatives come. And looking around, and what some of you have told me, and some of it I just know, I know that we have five or six at least that were not saved that night. And there may have been more than that, but I know that many. So they heard the scripture of why Jesus came and what he did as he hung on the cross. So I know God's going to do something because of what took place. Just a glorious time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus. So I wrote down some things that all month long, we've read the scriptures concerning the birth of Christ. I think we've read all the different ones that pointed towards Christ. We have tried to pick out songs that match the scriptures and so that we'd hear the scripture and sing the songs and it would put our hearts focused on the birth of Jesus. We had a week of prayer for our foreign missions and our Lottie Moon offering, and this helped us do our part in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Many of you had attended Christmas parties, and some of you gathered in your house with family and friends and had the privilege of sharing the Lord Jesus with them as you gathered. And then as we put all that together, we know that the Bible says that Jesus came to save his people. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. So today we're going to explore why Jesus came and answer the question, what does that have to do with a Christian? Why did Jesus have to come and we got saved? We know that part, but now what's our part as Jesus came as that babe and then died on the cross for all people? We know that Christianity has its deep roots in the Bible, going all the way back to the Old Testament and the prophecies foretelling of the church age and all that's coming now. So as we think about Jesus coming, realize that he came and invaded, I don't know of a better word to say, but he invaded this world. And as he came and invaded this world with himself, he changed the world forever. Some believe that, some don't, but I guarantee you, he did. He has made a huge difference in this world because he came to save us. Jesus came to save us, but also as Christians, he changes us, and we'll get to that scripture in a few moments. But as he came as a baby, he came into this world that we might know that God wants a relationship with us. that's what's so sweet about gathering with your family and friends as you before you open presents on Christmas Day. Just have the Christian fellowship and to know without a doubt that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and throughout the years you become closer to the Lord, and that's the difference it makes in a Christian. You get saved, and then Jesus starts invading your heart. He starts teaching you what it's all about, and we are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares how we live. As a Christian, Jesus absolutely cares how we live, because who's watching us? Yeah, God is, for sure, but everybody else is too. Non-Christians are watching us to make sure that we do what we say we're doing. He cares what we believe. That's the reason we went through the Bible like we did this month, making sure that we all know what the birth of Christ is about. All the different stories, the different points that Jesus makes throughout the Gospels of who he is. But hear this, as far as a Christian goes, in fact all people, but especially why Jesus came to save us, he cares how we die. And he drilled it in my heart the other day that we need to know the difference between eternity in heaven and eternity in hell. So Jesus, the Lord, came because he cares where we end up. He cares how we die. He came to bridge the gap that, because of Adam and Eve, we've been born sinful, separated from God, and Jesus died on that cross to bridge that great chasm of sin. So we're going to look and see why, as Christians, we're no longer separated from God. That's our point today. True Christians are no longer separated from God because they believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. So let's look at these two verses, and let's just talk a little bit about them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the world, or to the word of reconciliation. That word reconciliation is a process by which God and man are brought together again. This reconciliation can only happen by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've seen illustrations using a cross. There'd be a big old a gap between one cliffside and another, and then the cross is dropped down between them and forms a bridge over to what represents heaven. That's what God has done through Jesus for us. He's provided a way for us to end up in heaven. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. We believe that he shed his blood. We believe that's the only way to heaven. In our reconciliation back to God, our right relationship with God comes only through the blood of Christ. Shake your head if you heard what I just said. We believe in the blood of Jesus. We believe that that is the only way to be reconciled or put back together with a relationship with God, our Savior. I love John Newton's story. And he absolutely knew what it was to be reconciled back to God. Sinful life he led before he got saved. Slave trader and drunkard and a womanizer, you name it, he did it. But he absolutely understood what it was to be reconciled back to God as he wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet that sound that saved the what? Wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's reconciliation. I know it's not politically correct. You know, I practice that word over and over and over. It sure came out good. I'm so proud of myself for saying that. It's not correct for us to use the word wretched anymore.
We can't, Steve, I can't look at you and call you a wretch. But here's the deal. God looks at us before we're saved and he sees a wretched life. He sees a sinful life. He sees a sinner. And because we're born in sin, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, God cannot have anything to do with us because he absolutely hates sin and he can't put up with it. Thus, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know one thing. When I got saved, I knew I was a wretched soul. I could have called myself a wretch. I knew what I had done was sinful, how I had lived, and I was just before fourth grade, I knew that. Thank you, Lord, for that little word or that big word, reconciliation. Now let's look at the heart of God in verse 18. Let's read it again. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible starts out, all things are of God. He created everything perfect. Everything was perfect with Adam and Eve. And then you know how the story goes. They were disobedient to the word of God. But before they created or committed that first sin, I want you to hear God's heart now. God provided a perfect place for them to live. He provided every provision of life that they needed. The Bible says he walked with them. He had a personal relationship with him. He loved them and loved being loved by them. Did that come out right? There's a lot of love in there. What a perfect place it was until they sinned. And you can hear God's heart as he's giving them what they need. He's walking with them. And I can almost hear God saying, Adam, I love you. Eve, I love you. And now Jesus is that babe as he's born, but today he's no longer that babe, is he? He grew up and died on the cross because of Adam and Eve and their sin. Because of them, and we had the same problem. We have what we call a sin problem. God has told this world, as Jesus was baptized, this is my son whom I'm well proud of, and behold, he's my beloved son. And as Jesus, or as God said that about Jesus, he knew that Jesus was going to have to die on that cross for us. Now you see two hearts here. You see God's, the Father's heart, as he gives us this, his son. He's going down for baptism. I am so proud of my son. This is my beloved son that I'm giving for you guys. But Jesus is God, Emmanuel, God with us, and he's raising up, and we see his heart, and his heart is such that he loves us enough to give his life for us. This is the reconciliation part. Can you just see God's heart being broken as he looks at all of us of old sinful wretches? He looks at us because we don't have Christ in our heart. We've never accepted him as our Savior yet. He gave his only begotten son, his beloved son, the one that they were so close. They were one and the same because of us. He loved us enough to give his son for our sins, but zero in closer. He loved us enough to die for your sins, for Jerry's sins, for Don's sins. We'll keep going and look at God's heart and Jesus' heart in verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God in Christ not imputing our sins to us. He laid our sins on Jesus. You see their hearts there? Jesus was sin-free. Never even thought about sinning, perfect. Yet he went to that cross to take our sins on his shoulders, to take our sins on himself. And here's the heart of God. Jesus, as he died on that cross, my God, why are you forsaking me? The heart of God loved us enough to give his own son, and as Jesus took our sins on his shoulders, his body, God does this to his own son. What an awesome God. What an awesome Savior. Do you see the two hearts, how much they loved this world? Broken hearts. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Because He loved us enough to give His Son for us. He didn't impute our sins, our trespasses on us. God didn't lay our sins' responsibilities on us. He gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus took our sins, we once again could be restored, reconciled back to God the Father. That's the effect the birth of Jesus has on Christians. He allows us now to have a relationship with God. And that relationship starts out like this, and it goes, and grows and grows and grows and grows till you get home to glory. But you start out about that close to God or that close to God, and then you end up that close to God. I mean, our relationship just grows as we study His Word and we pray and seek Him. He didn't impute our sins on us if we accept Jesus as our Savior. Now, I'm looking at us right now. There's not a single one of us that deserves that kind of treatment because we willfully sin. Yet God doesn't see our sin because we accept the blood of Jesus, and God sees the blood of Jesus, not us. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. I like to explain, when I'm talking to children, I like to explain that the cross, the death of Christ, I use the oil filter in a car as an example. With an oil filter, that old oil goes into that oil filter and it goes through and cleans that oil, and on the other side you get a clean oil flow. And that's what Jesus does. He's the sin cleanser. He cleanses us from our sin. His blood cleanses us from our sin. And God doesn't charge us for our sins. He charges Jesus to be our sin and forgive us of our sin. Even though Jesus shed His blood, we believe that. There's another word that comes to mind. As we believe that, we are justified in our relationship and our life to God. We're declared as a judge not guilty. Again, I'm looking around. And when we get to heaven, I pray that every single one of us not guilty. If you don't hear that, where are you going to end up at? You're going to end up in hell. This morning in my quiet time, I was going through my mind about hell and trying to come up with a word picture of hell. And it just didn't fit in this message. But it was not pleasant. There's nothing pleasant about hell. It's darkness, it's agony, it's pain. It's being without Jesus, it's being without love. There's no light. It's just going to be terrible. The words don't describe how bad it is. But through the blood of Jesus, we don't have to worry about that, do we? Now let's back up and look at verse 15. We've looked at Jesus as in God's heart. But look at verse 15. It's just a great verse. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Jesus, the Bible says, was born in the manger and died on that cross for all people. And He died for everybody. It doesn't matter who you were, for every single person on this earth, He died for them. And it's a hard verse. Many people struggle with this verse, thinking there's more ways to get to heaven than just the blood of Christ. In fact, I read a survey, and it said 52% of Christians think that at least some non-Christians their faith will lead them to eternal life. And if they leave the blood of Christ out, they'll not go to heaven with the Lord. That's, by the way, mostly good works. They think their good works will get them to heaven. And I see some shaking heads. Absolutely not. Not by works you'll be saved, unless you brag about that and get puffed up. That same poll showed that about 30% of Americans believe Jesus is the only way. That's a good thought, that there's 30%, but that leaves 70%. What about them? Well, 60% of the Americans believe that many religions lead to eternal life, which we know that's wrong, but 7% of Americans don't believe in life after death. Bless their hearts. They're going to be in for a shock. This was even a worse statement. Many just don't care or know. The heart of God can be seen in these statistics, because God died for every single one of those that don't care, don't know, or don't believe that He's the only way. He still died for them. I didn't say that all people are going to go to heaven. Don't you go home and think that preacher said that. I did not say everybody's going to go to heaven. I said that Jesus died for all people. But there's a choice to be made. We either choose to believe in that thing right there, or we reject Jesus Christ. Not all people will end up in heaven. It's up to us to accept Him. As I was saying, that little babe came as God with us. Jesus is going to save His people from their sins. Yet, they're going to have to choose to believe that's true. They're going to have to believe at Easter time that He died, He was buried, and He was resurrected from the death. And then go on to verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul uses the little word if. If you choose to accept Jesus as your Savior, then the Lord makes you into a new creation. When that happens, you're considered in Christ. I tried to explain that to a young boy Christmas Eve. And that's something that's kind of hard for even adults to understand, how we can become a new creation. But that's what the Bible tells us. All things, after you get saved, all the sinful things have passed away. And the simple reason is because God is looking at us through Jesus. So He's looking through perfect to get to us. Jesus is like guarding us from God, from seeing our sin, because He's taking care of it. God looks at you not because of anything you can do, but because of what Jesus did. And He shed His blood for us. I wrote this down. When God makes you a new creation, you are new enough that your past is blotted out of God's eyes. You're new enough that your past is blotted out when God saves you. When He makes a new creation. What a joy it is to be able to stand up here and preach to you, knowing that I have been made a new creation. Wouldn't it be horrible if I was standing up here preaching for you and I never gave my life to Jesus, but yet you were listening to me? Wouldn't that be terrible? Well, we see preachers do that all the time. They get up there here and preach the gospel and they're not saved. What a joy it is when you're in Christ, when you know you sin, but God takes care of it. Not a real saved man to preach if he didn't have the blood of Christ covered. Deacons the same way, Sunday school, even just all of us Christians, we need the blood of Christ covering us. Harry Fosdick wrote this: no man need stay the same way he is. Often a person will defend himself or herself by saying, I can't help it. I'm made that way. That's my nature. I can't change myself. And here's what Harry Fosdick calls it. That is sheer heresy. How many of us have said, well, that's just so-and-so. That's just the way he is. How many are guilty of that? We just allow it to happen. But God tells us in His Word that He creates a new heart in us and the old has passed away. So if we're doing things or saying things that are not pleasing to God, that's our fault. We continue to do it, but God gives us a way to get rid of that. I call it garbage in our life. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believe that He died for your sins. Yeah. You confess your sins to God, and then you repent of those sins. As you do, Jesus writes your name in His book. The Bible says, and I say on His authority, you are a new creation when you get saved. And as you're a new creation, old things have passed away. I stand on that. I firmly believe that. Otherwise, I wouldn't baptize anybody. Behold, all things have been made new. You think about Jesus, the baby, as He came, and all that He did for us, all that He continues to do for us. So why did Jesus come? He came to save us from our sins. Without Jesus, you are separated from God. That's a horrible thought. Without Jesus, you're separated from God. Without Jesus, you'll be separated from God for eternity. Again, I've tried to wrap my mind around eternity, and it's just a word that it never ends. You don't know what eternity is, but it's forever and ever and ever. We can't hardly wrap our human minds around it, but I do know this. I want to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. That eternity in hell. One of the verses I read said there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity. Have you ever been sad, really upset about something where you just wept and your heart broke? And you got to the point where you're just so mad you gnash your teeth, everything just it's falling apart in your life. You're frustrated. Well, that's just a small picture of hell. Weeping and gnashing. I think I saw a movie. I'm not sure where I saw this, but it could have been a play where the lights went down and it represented hell. And you just heard a horrible scream. Ah! Something like that. But that went on and on and on for as long as it had the lights out, which represents eternity. Can you imagine being at eternity and just listen, oh, help. But it's dark and they don't even know who they're crying for. Then to nursing homes, way too many times here, and somebody said, help me. There's one man that used to sit in a wheelchair in Fort Worth, the nursing home I used to preach at. He sat in a wheelchair, and every time I went by, help me. It broke my heart. There was nothing I could do for him. Help me. That's what those in hell are going to feel like. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything we've talked about all month has been the birth of Jesus. Today wraps it up. Why Jesus had to die? So that we could be reconciled back to God. Aren't you grateful that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Some maybe are dealing with their salvation right now. We always offer an invitation at our church. I will invite you to come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I'm not sure I have Jesus in my heart. If you don't, it's simple. Come on down. I'll be right here. I'll pray with you and I'll tell you how to invite the Lord Jesus in your heart. If you have a lost soul in your life, a husband, a wife, a child, a friend, during our invitation, why don't you pray that God would allow you an opportunity to share the Lord Jesus Christ with those people? We need to be better about sharing Jesus. Let's stand. The invitation will be, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come on down and we'll pray about it. Father Almighty, thank you for this day and the blessings of baptism and salvation. And just the privilege, Lord, of opening up the Bible and preaching and sharing and listening. Lord, there's countries that they're not allowed to do that. And we especially thank you, God, for that privilege. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you're right here with us. You abide with us. Your presence is here. And Father, everything that is said and done, you are the one that causes it. So, Father, if there's anybody in this church now that's not saved, that never invited Jesus into their life, I pray, Lord, that you would knock on their door of their heart and they would come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I need Jesus. God, we love you and praise you. And pray this in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me. Just my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. As long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Chant of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright, and singing thy praises before thee I'll bow.
Amen. Praise the Lord.